Log Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. A couple of show notes for you. Today you have the CW of Hollywood happening in Port Hueneme, California, KDW going on in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and up in our neck of the woods you can catch NWA Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland, Oregon. And I would like to welcome our brand new women's expert onto the show, joining myself and QT. No stranger to the program at all, Amazing Maria, welcome as our women's expert.
Thanks, guys. My pleasure to be a part of the show in a different capacity, I suppose.
A little bit different, but, you know, you're still family, so now you're official. And I would like to welcome the guest to the show today out of the great state of North Carolina. She often is found, Savannah Evans. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me. And hey, Maria.
Hey, Savannah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys.
All right, amazing one. Why don't you get us started here with your womanly expertise?
Sure, not a problem. Savannah, we kind of usually go off, you know, basic normal things, how you got in the business, how long you've been in the business, you know, some of who your favorites are. So why don't you start us off with just a little bit about you?
Okay, and you guys will have to forgive me. There's a little bit of background noise going on. I literally just got back from the grocery store. But I guess background about me, I think like a lot of wrestlers, like I grew up loving wrestling, always wanted to be a wrestler, but obviously my parents put education first, but I told myself as soon as I graduated college, I wanted to at least try wrestling, at least, you know, take a stab at training. So I went ahead and did that at High Spots Training School here in Charlotte, North Carolina, head trainer George South. Also, we have classes with Caleb Conley, and before he left, also Cedric Alexander. But now we have the man scout, Jake Manning, doing classes with us. So that's where I train at. It'll be my, I guess, third year training next month. So it's hard for me to think that it's been that long, you know, but it's very cool, very honored to still be able to wrestle and to learn my craft, basically, as they say.
Okay, so you have been in the wrestling business for 3 years. Parents made you pretty much put your education first. The good news about that is you have a backup plan. So in case, you know, God forbid anything happens, injuries, anything like that, you do have something to fall back on, correct?
Yeah, I got my bachelor's in psychology. Currently, I believe I'm limited in what I can do with that degree unless I get, like, some more schooling to get, like, a doctorate or, you know, a PhD or anything like that. But, you know, I did enjoy that, you know, I guess, learning. But I do love wrestling. That's my number one.
So who do you mentor yourself after when it comes to wrestling? Like, who did you grow up just absolutely had to watch, like, was your all-time favorite?
My number one had to watch was The Rock. Like, I started watching wrestling, I guess, maybe very early 98. And for, I guess, a few months or a few years, my dad had been trying to get me into watching wrestling with him. He used to watch it. And but I think he was bigger on WCW, and sometimes I would sit down with him, but I didn't really, like, get into the programming. I guess I wasn't really watching and paying attention. And one day we were at my grandfather's house, my mom's dad, and him and my uncles were watching WWF. And I was like, I actually sat down and was paying attention. I'm like, who's this character? Who's that? What are they doing? What is this? And ever since then, like, I just had to tune in and watch and see what The Rock was doing. And I would say he's definitely the first wrestler that really caught my eye, as far as I have to see what's going on. Like, I have to tune in next week and see what he's going to do. So
you never knew what was
going to
come out, right?
Yes, exactly. And looking back on it now, I'm like, man, that stuff he said and did was, like, really crazy. But at the time, it was the best, you know? Like, I really just enjoyed that. I believe I kind of got into watching the women's wrestling as well. Like, at first, I think I wasn't really into it that much. But I loved Lita. She was obviously different at the time, and that really stuck out to me. I was also, like, tomboyish at the time, so that I kind of, I guess, related to her a little bit. But I just thought it was really cool that she was doing all of these, you know, acrobatic things, and I hadn't seen that, you know, before then from a female wrestler.
Especially out of the women that were in professional wrestling at that time.
Exactly. The ones that you were able to see on TV, you didn't really see a lot of that out of them.
So I've met George South, been on shows with him, worked a lot with him in Tennessee Valley Fairs and things. How do you feel about having George South over you as a head trainer? I personally think the man is amazing, and I absolutely love George South, and I love talking to his students, talking to people who have been around him, following him on Facebook. So what are your feelings about good old George?
Oh, I love George to death. Like, and it's crazy. I think a lot of people will also say, like, when you see his Facebook posts and his rants, you read them in his voice. Like, you hear his voice,
right,
in your head. Yeah, it's great. He is, right now he's at a point in training where he's like patient with you when he needs to be, but he'll light that fire under you, you know, also at the same time whenever you need it. And it's so great to be able to learn from him, because, you know, obviously not everyone views wrestling the same, and everyone has their different flavor and different style. But I really enjoy what he teaches us, you know, to really tell that story and get the most out of everything you do.
I love the fact that George South still teaches old school wrestling, like you said, with telling a story and getting the emotion. But not only that, he also teaches being humble, respecting the business, and I saw his rants the other day about a new student he had who didn't hang around, and I just absolutely love how George handles things, because he's always been an old school guy.
Mm-hmm. And I was there at that show. The incident that she's talking about, for people that don't know, is he did a charity show for a girls' baseball team, I believe. No, it was a basketball team, at a high school a couple weekends ago, and he gave one of his, you know, newer students their first match, and he was really excited. He brought his family out and that kind of thing, and his family was excited to see him wrestle, so that was a big deal for him, and it was his first match. But he didn't show up early to help set up the ring. He left, I think, before the show was over, didn't help tear down the ring, didn't say goodbye to George or thank you or anything like that. And so obviously George was upset about that. Like, he likes when his students do have their first matches, he tells us he feels like a dad sending their kid off to prom, you know, or off from graduation and that kind of thing. Like, he gets really excited about it, and he's, you know, emotionally invested in all of us. But for him, when that happened, it was just, you know, man, like, okay, is that how it is? And so he posted on Facebook about it. And he got some comments like, oh, well, you should just, you know, what would Jesus do? Jesus would say forgive him. And George was like, it has nothing to do with that. Like,
exactly.
You know, it's a respect thing.
Right, yeah. And I love the fact that, you know, George continues to teach old school wrestling and you know, respect and being humble and things like that. It's hard to find these days. It's hard to find in newer trainees. And, you know, a lot of trainers really let things go when they shouldn't. So, like, George South has the utmost respect for me. I absolutely love the man. I want to ask you, I'm going to have to pass this over to QT here in a little bit, but before I go, I want to ask you a little bit about Girl Fight. You are one of the members of the Girl Fight roster. You travel around the states with us. So I just want to ask you, you know, your thoughts about Girl Fight and how you feel about being a part of the program.
I'm always excited to be a part of Girl Fight just because it's a group of girls that obviously they love wrestling and we all have the same goal, you know, to get better, to improve, to wrestle women that make you better, to wrestle women that give you competition. And it's so great being a part of, you know, other women that have that same goal and belief, and everyone's working towards the same thing. I always love being part of the shows, and sometimes you never know what you're going to see at the shows, like in the actual matches. Like, everyone's a character, and it's just great. I like being a part of it, for sure.
I think one of the best Girl Fights we had, you were a part of, I was a part of. We were in Illinois, I believe, and, like, you were the opening match. And from top to bottom, it's like every match just got better and better and better and better. And, like, it had so much going on. And, like, you and Haley Shadows went out there and opened it and told a story, you know, about the bigger girl and the smaller girl, and, like, told that whole story. And I just, like, me personally, that was one of the best Girl Fights that we have had. And I just wanted to thank you for being a part of that.
I remember it now that you're talking about it. Like, you're right. That show was amazing. I remember loving having been a part of it. And me and Haley went out there. And that's definitely one of my, one of my more favorite matches, because the crowd reaction that we got. They were into it 100%. And it made us definitely feel good about what we were doing out there. And like you said, like, the matches are getting better and better and better. And I want to say everyone was happy with the way that show went.
And there's no better way to start a show out hot and then just continue it all the way to the end and, like, leave the crowd happy. And it's a wonderful feeling. You know, I thank Pondo for giving us the opportunity to do that, giving us a place to go be ourselves, because a lot of promoters, you know, they want to go out and they're like, you know, they have their ideas and things they want to do, but Girl Fight to me is kind of like a family. And, you know, Pondo gives us a place to be ourselves. So, you know, like I said, I just want to thank you for being a part of that. I love you. I'm going to have to pass this over to QT. I appreciate you taking your time and being on the show.
Of course. And yeah, I love you guys and Pondo as well. Like you said, it's a great opportunity for us girls. But thanks for, I guess, joining us for that segment. Sorry you have to go.
Well, thank you, amazing Maria. Hello, Savannah.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good. Savannah, we usually open up the second half of the show by asking the following question. What's the hardest knife-edge chop you've ever received in the ring, and was it from a wrestler named Casey Carlisle?
Oh, man. I do enjoy wrestling Casey Carlisle. I would say she's definitely given out some of the harder chops that I've received. And then definitely there is a girl that I train with, also at George's school, named Daisy Day. She, like, we never hold back with each other. She gives me just the craziest chops, and I'm like, no, we're not doing this again. We're not doing this again.
Daisy Day, now that name sounds pretty familiar. I believe I've heard rumors that she is thinking of changing her name to Daisy Knight. Is there any truth to those rumors, Daisy Knight?
Oh, I'm not sure. I haven't heard that at all. I know she just got back from injury. I believe it was her ACL or something like that about this time last year, but she just got back, and she's happy to be back training with us at High Spots and everything. But I'm not sure about a name change.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Well, what is the hardest knife edge chop you've received in your state of residence? And I thought your state of residence was New York from a wrestling video that I saw, but I guess, is it from North Carolina?
I have wrestled in New York, but yeah, I'm currently in North Carolina.
Oh, okay. Now, when you did wrestle in New York, was it on Governor's Island out in the bay or in the thorough, how would you say that? Oh, yeah, the borough of Queens.
I believe it was Queens. It was for Tier 1 Wrestling maybe a little over a year ago, maybe October 2015, I want to say. But yeah, it was a blast. It was in New York. I got to wrestle Vanity up there, and we had a good time.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, Savannah, I saw your YouTube video entitled Golden Gladiators versus Jimmy Valiant and Savannah Evans. Do you remember what gymnasium this took place in?
Oh, yeah, that was the show I was talking with Maria about earlier. I think it was Seagrove High School, Seagrove Middle School, and Seagrove, North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
So
in junior high and high school.
Yeah, it was a fundraiser for the girls of that high school to go on, I believe, a trip to D.C. or something like that. It was for their basketball team. But, you know, it was such a blast.
Oh, all right. Now, in this gymnasium, do you remember if they had the track and field records for that school on the wall?
Yeah, I believe they had a few banners like that up.
Oh, okay. Now, did you yourself go out for track and field in high school?
No, I didn't. In high school, I want to say high school was kind of when sports for me kind of wound down. Like I was definitely more active when I was younger. I ran track and field as part of, you know, like the required gym classes and that kind of thing. But I was never too big on track and field growing up.
Oh, okay. I only ask this because sometimes at Blue Collar Wrestling, some of the in Portland, Oregon, they sometimes use the Kindle stick as a weapon. And I've always thought if you encased a Kindle stick in resin epoxy, you could throw it as a javelin. Yes, a javelin.
I'm sure that's possible.
Oh, okay. Well, Savannah, at the 36-second mark in your match with Jimmy Valiant against those two masked lucha wrestlers, he said, or she said, that that coming out first from parts unknown at a combined weight of 202 pounds, the Assassins. Well, Savannah, my question is, did the ring announcers get the name of this tag team wrong, or were they a late substitution? Because the name on the YouTube video said the Golden Gladiators. What were they, the Golden Gladiators or the Assassins?
I personally wouldn't have considered them Golden Gladiators. Maybe the person that headlined the YouTube video was incorrect. I believe they were more, I would say they were more Assassins than anything.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to mark down the Assassins in my Turnbuckle Terminal logbook. Okay. All right. Well, in Savannah, the announcer said that like I said, 202 pounds of that combined weight. I find it hard to believe that a female wrestler, ODB, outweighed both of these individuals combined by a net total of 8 pounds or 9.25 pounds after an all-you-can-eat buffet at Golden Corral. That's ODB.
Wow, man, I would have to say maybe the announcer dropping on that one. Maybe he meant 402 pounds instead of 202 pounds. I mean, they weren't small guys by any means.
Oh, yes, I agree with that assessment. Yes, okay. All right. Well, Savannah, one of the Golden Gladiators, -assassin, had on a warm-up sweatshirt that said, "I pinned Deion Johnson." how concerned would you have been if the sweatshirt said, I pinned Dwayne Johnson?
Oh, man. I would say that definitely would have been more of a feat. Not taking anything away from Deion Johnson, but that would have been more of a feat, I believe, to have pinned Dwayne Johnson. Maybe I would have looked at that assassin a little bit different at that point. Maybe he was a little more skilled than I originally had thought.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, if the sweatshirt would have said, I pinned Dwayne Johnson, in your opinion, would this have been the first incident of fake news in 2017 in the wrestling ring?
Not at all. I believe fake news gets out in wrestling about every 5 seconds.
Oh, okay. All right. Every five, okay. Well, Savannah, I was surprised when Jimmy Valiant shook the referee's hand and then kissed him on the lips. My question is, has any of your fans on Facebook said that Jimmy Valiant possesses Pepe Le Pew-like qualities or behaviors?
I don't think I've seen any comments like that, but definitely those kind of shenanigans are not anything new for Jimmy Valiant.
Did Jimmy Valiant say to you that he thought the referee looked like the female skunk in Pepe Le Pew's Warner Brothers cartoons because of his black pants and black and white zebra-striped shirt?
No, he didn't say anything about that to me.
Oh, okay. All right. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners who your manager is, the one in the green and yellow windbreaker, the Crocodile Dundee hat, and who is carrying a tennis racket in this match? Who was that referee? Who was your manager?
Oh, that is one of Jimmy Valiant's managers. I don't exactly recall his name, but I do remember him.
Oh, okay. So you didn't go out to the Golden Corral afterwards and have dinner with him?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Savannah, you twice zeroed in on the left arm of one of the Lucha Masked wrestlers, using one hand as a pressure point on his elbow and one hand as a pressure point near his shoulder, applying both of these pressure points like a fulcrum in theoretical physics. You fulcrumed him or her, I can't tell which, to the mat at the 11-minute and 40-second mark. My question is, did you study physics at a local community college in North Carolina as a minor? And if so, were you a big fan of the physicists Isaac Newton or Stephen Hawking?
I did not study physics as a minor to accompany my major in psychology, but who knows where I would be had I done that. that just comes from regular education.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Savannah, both you and Jimmy Valiant took an arm of the Golden Gladiators while they were in the corners and whipped them into each other in the center of the ring, where you then applied simultaneous sleeper holds. This was about 10 seconds. This was about 10 seconds after both you and Jimmy applied simultaneous headbutts to the Golden Gladiators. My question is, your mirror image moves with Jimmy made me speculate that at one time you may have been part of a synchronized swim team duet with Jimmy. Am I right in my analysis?
Your analysis might be a little bit off on that. You know, we just had good chemistry on that night, and everything worked out that way.
Oh, all right. Okay. Would you ever consider forming a synchronized swim combo with Casey Carlisle?
Oh, no. I don't know if synchronized swimming would be Casey and I's thing. I prefer, you know, wrestling her as opposed to swimming.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Savannah, are you familiar with the term Tar Heel?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners, Sign Guy Wrestling Show, and Sign of the Time fans, what exactly the term Tar Heel means, and did it have its origins in the Civil War?
Well, currently, I guess, in present time, the Tar Heel is definitely how our sports teams, I guess, identify themselves. Originally, I'm not exactly 100% sure. I think it's like a coal miner type thing. Originally.
Okay, coal miner. All right, well, I'm going to assign you the Turnbuckle Turmoil homework assignment to look up the original meaning of the term Tar Heel. Yes.
All righty.
Okay. All right, well, Savannah, were you a big fan of early Pioneer, High Flyer, Jimmy Superfly Snuka?
Yeah, I would say, you know, not at the time when he was super popular. I hadn't started watching wrestling then, but, you know, more recently, I would say I was definitely a fan. I got to go with, well, I not only train at High Spots, I actually work for them, and we went out to Jimmy Snuka's place last year and did an interview with him. So that was a good memory I had, you know, of him. He was very warm and welcoming to everybody, and just, you know, a good guy. And of course, I had seen his matches before, and so yeah, I'd say I'm definitely a fan.
Wow, you got to interview Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
I was there present in the room while he was interviewed. I personally, myself, did not interview him.
Oh, okay. So you probably did not partake of the herbal teas that he was known to give his guests, herbal tea.
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Savannah, the term Superfly is shrouded in urban myth and legend. Some cultural study professors have done studies among young millennial university students, and they say the term Superfly applies is another name for groupies. Yes, groupies that follow the rappers Snoop Dogg and Painful P, and most of them have no problems getting a degree from the college that will regulate them living in their parents' basement for a period of 8 years. Older members of the baby boom generation, when asked to describe the term Superfly, mentioned the character Huggy Bear on Starsky and Hutch. Some bring up the bass player for the Parliament Funkadelic, Bootsy Collins. Bring up the song My Love Is Like a Roller Coaster from the Ohio Players while watching a young Ric Flair on VHS tapes. My question is, are you familiar with the bass playing of Bootsy Collins of the Parliament Funkadelic?
Not super familiar. I know of him. Not super familiar.
Oh, okay. Would you consider adopting the nickname Superfly yourself?
I don't know if that really fits me. I would definitely have to consider that for a long time before I changed.
Oh, okay. All right. Would you ever consider sinking $10,000 into the restoration of a 1974 Cadillac Eldorado and driving it down to the ring, like Huggy Bear on Starsky and Hutch?
No, I'll leave the Cadillac riding to Huggy Bear.
Okay. Now, were you a big fan of Eddie Guerrero when he drove his lowriders to the ring, Eddie Guerrero?
Yeah, definitely a big fan of Eddie. And that element of driving, you know, the lowrider to the ring made him more interesting. And it stands out as, like, an awesome memory for a lot of people.
How about the Cadillac of JBL with a Texas steer horns on the front? On the bumper.
With the long horns, yeah. Everyone remembers that, too.
Okay. Now, given a choice, if you suddenly won the lottery and came into a bunch of money, what would you rather purchase, JBL's Cadillac with the steer horns on the front or a restored lowrider that Eddie Guerrero rode in?
Probably the low rider.
Oh, okay. All right, the low rider. And what color would you paint that low rider? That's a very important question.
It is. I like the brighter ones because they grab your attention. Maybe like a lime green and a black.
Wow, green and black. Okay, all right. Would you ever want to recreate the scene from Thelma and Louise where they drove over the cliff with Casey Carlisle? Would you ever like to
recreate that scene? I don't know how Casey would feel about that, but I definitely would not be up on driving over the cliff.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans what high-flying aerial maneuver you prefer the most? High-flying aerial maneuver.
Myself? I actually don't do any high-flying aerial maneuvers. It's definitely not my thing.
Oh, okay. All right. You prefer a more of a ground-based attack. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, now the subject of concussions has come up recently, and in society and sports itself, like in boxing, martial arts, and the NFL. Several rules in the NFL have been instituted this year to cut down on the possibility of concussions. Have you yourself suffered several concussions, and have you ever taken a share shot in the ring? Which share shots are mostly becoming banned in a lot of indie wrestling venues?
No, I've never, thankfully, had any concussions, and I've never taken a chair shot before. I don't know if that's something that I would really want to get into before that exact reason. You know, concussions are definitely a serious and very scary issue that no one wants to deal with.
Have you ever taken a shot from a foam rubber finger that was swung extra hard and made you see a couple of stars? On a minor scale. Foam rubber
fingers. No. No foam fingers. No.
Well, okay. All right. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Sign Guy, and I hope you do your homework assignment to look up the term Tar Heel.
All righty.
Okay. To you, Sign Guy. Yes.
Thank you, QT. Well, Miss Evans, one of the things that you recently have done is capture the AWA women's title. I believe that is your first championship one. What was it like capturing the AWA women's title?
Oh, it was great. It's my first championship, you know, I've ever won. So obviously it holds a very special place for me in that aspect. And just, you know, I just remember the crowd being like super supportive and real loud when it happened, and it was just a great moment.
Now, some of the former AWA Women's Champions of the Vern Gagne era AWA, of course, women like Sherry Martel and Medusa Michelli held that title. Were you familiar with the history of the AWA lineage going into it, or was it something that you weren't aware of at the time of capturing the title?
No, I wasn't aware. And this one, actually, I believe is a very different AWA than that one. This one is Appalachian Wrestling Alliance up in West Virginia. But no, I wasn't aware of that great lineage up the belt. Mm-hmm.
Another thing that you have done lately, from what I understand, is you had a comic book form take place of Savannah Evans. Can you tell us a little bit about that aspect of your career?
Yes, I love that project. It's currently in the works. They have started, you know, the drafts and the sketches for the characters and framing everything up for the issue. But it's a comic book titled Bounty Hunter Beauty, and I get to play one of the antagonists, along with a couple of other wrestlers that I'm familiar with. We'll play the antagonist to the hero of the comic, her name is Beauty, and she's a bounty hunter. But I was super excited to find out that, you know, I was going to be a part of that. Like, it's stuff that you don't really think about. And then when the opportunity arises, it was definitely something I wanted to be involved with.
Had you been a comic book fan prior to this project at all?
Yeah, I wouldn't say not so much recently, but definitely when I was younger, I loved the X-Men comics. Like, they were my favorite. You know, I loved the X-Men cartoons, like the Fox, like the 90s show, you know, growing up. So that has translated over to the comic books. And now to be a part of a comic book myself, it's kind of unreal.
There have been, in the past, wrestling-based comic books. WWE had a few runs with comics in the late 90s, early 2000s. The Ultimate Warrior had his very own comic book in the mid-90s. WCW had a very brief comic book version in the early 90s. Had you been aware of some of the past wrestling comic book relations at that point?
Yeah, I knew of the one, I believe it was the one in the early 2000s. Like, I had received a couple issues, but never was super invested in them or anything like that. I just thought it was a cool concept that they would put wrestlers in comics.
You touched on it a little bit earlier, but you happen to work for High Spots, which, as most people in the industry knows, not only do they do shoot interviews and release wrestling videos, but they also make wrestling gear. They make wrestling rings. It's a place that fans of wrestling can buy things, as well as people in the industry. They can buy the supplies that wrestlers have to perform. What was it that led you to taking a job with High Spots?
Well, I knew of a couple people that had worked at High Spots, you know, but the fact that I was training there, you know, it kind of opened doors for me, different opportunities. And then I decided, you know, what better way to be even more involved in wrestling than to you know, take a job here. So I talked to the owner and, you know, we debated for a bit, and finally I came on and joined the team.
Can you take us through what a typical day at High Spots would consist of for yourself?
Okay, yeah. For myself personally, I actually work in I guess, the warehouse part of the company. I make knee pads, elbow pads, turnbuckle pads, things of that nature. So, you know, the day I come in and I see what orders we have, and we kind of split them up between myself. Caleb Conley also works in the back with the knee pads, elbow pads. So we kind of distribute, you know, who's going to be doing what and which ones will be taken on which, and kind of just go about the day that way, you know, get your materials together, all that good stuff.
High Spots is pretty famous for their shoot interview series as well. They've been interviewing some of the most legendary wrestlers in the history of the sport for several years now. When people come by the High Spots studio to film an interview, is there any interaction between yourself and the people that are being interviewed? Do you have any type of role with that aspect of the company?
I don't do the interviews themselves, or I don't film them either. That's a different crew that we have in the office that does that. You know, I'll see people when they come in to do their interviews and that kind of thing, but I'm not super involved with any of the, like, production stuff or anything like that.
Now, if a wrestler listening today was to need some sort of gear, like say you needed knee pads or trunks, boots, anything like that, is that something that you would be able to personally help with and make sure that they got what they needed?
Yeah, generally I always just direct people to the website, highspots.com. You know, they can always give us a call or an email, support@highspots.com. And, you know, if they have any questions as far as, you know, what's in stock or, hey, I need this custom, you know, how long is this going to take or what different customizations can I make, you know, we're definitely always able to help people as much as we can, you know, with those types of things. So, you know, anyone needing anything, any products, any gear, you know, go ahead and give us a call or check out the website, you know, send us an email and we'll get you set up.
I know that in your career you have done tag team wrestling both with fellow lady wrestlers as well as some men, as referenced earlier. Do you have a particular preference as far as tag team versus singles wrestling is concerned?
I'm not sure that it's a preference. Each brings its own, I guess, not just challenges, but also, you know, the upside to that as well, having a tag partner, someone to have your back and everything. I appreciate both, you know, singles matches and tag matches. But I wouldn't say there's really a preference.
Going into a tag match, do you have to adopt a different mindset on how to approach the match as opposed to what you do in an individual singles match?
Yeah, I would say you definitely do. There's another person, you know, you're not just wrestling one person, you're wrestling two people. So there's two people on the side of the ring for you. But then again, you also have your partner to, you know, that's helping you out. So you keep that in mind and to work together, take advantage of the fact that there is two of you. That's how I approach it, really.
In your career so far, have you had the opportunity to wrestle in very many stipulation matches, be it a steel cage or a lumberjill match, anything like that?
Yeah, actually, last year I wrestled in, I don't even know, I would consider it a street fight. I don't know how it was officially announced, but down at Wildcat Sports Entertainment in Louisiana, I had a match with Soraya Knight and Ruby Ray. So it was a three-way match, and like every weapon imaginable around the ring was involved. You know, steel pipes, trash can, like just everything really. And it was crazy. I wouldn't even consider it like, you know, a match, like a wrestling match. It was literally just a street fight, and we just beat the crap out of each other.
When you do matches like that, one of the dangers involved is blood. That's been sort of a hot topic in wrestling the last few years because of the medical science, knowing a little bit more about blood-borne pathogens and so forth, and people being more concerned with that type of incident. What's your personal feelings on blood as it relates to pro wrestling in the year 2017?
Like you said, definitely having blood involved in matches does bring certain, you know, dangers with it. I'm not a big fan of, you know, like bloody matches, like death matches. You know, I've been to them, I've seen them. I haven't participated in any, but you know, I don't think I ever would, but It's just something I think to think about, like, would you want to be in that situation? I wouldn't, so I'm not a huge fan of that. And I know sometimes, you know, it does happen, you know, certain types of matches.
Absolutely. I believe if you ask Pondo, he's had at least two of those types of matches in his career.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways that wrestlers on the independent circuit make money at this, since the pay is usually nowhere near the scale of a national company, is the selling of merchandise. Have you started to market and merchandise yourself to try to make some income with that aspect?
Yeah, my main merchandise at the moment are 8x10s. I also, you know, sell like older gear that I'm not going to wear anymore. If, you know, collectors want to buy that gear, you know, have it available for sale. Also, I'm not sure how many people of your podcast are familiar with me, but I am part of an all-girls group in Queens of Combat called the Sexy Young Caramels. It's myself and Errol Monroe and Devin Nicole King. And we are in the process of getting our first shirt made. So that's something I'm looking forward to. And like you said, it's another way to bring in a little more income, and fans can show their support for us and everything.
Obviously, with the 8x10s and everything, fans usually like to have those signed and so forth. So there's interactions with the fans at various shows. What's been your favorite moment that you've had to spend with a fan so far?
Oh, man. I think there's so many, like, great ones that, you know, off the top of my head, just I love talking to the little girls that come up, and they tell me that, you know, they love my match, and that now they want to wrestle, and, you know, they had a good time at the show. Like, I really just like interacting with, you know, the younger girls, and you know, even like the little boys too, they come up and tell me how it's great and that kind of thing. Especially if it's, you know, for the shows that I work for George, for his shows, sometimes I am wrestling, you know, guys that I train with. And so a lot of little kids will be like, whoa, you know, you beat that guy up, or that was cool. And I just like interacting with, you know, the younger kids. They really, you know, that really gets me excited, is being able to talk to them and how they feel about the matches.
A lot of times on shows, the younger fans in particular get very emotional when they see their favorites getting beat up in the ring. A lot of younger fans become distraught even at the sight of their favorite, especially one that they've interacted with at, say, intermission or whatever, is on the wrong end of the stick in the ring. What's been the scariest that you've ever seen a fan when you've been in a match?
When I'm in the matches, you know, like, a lot's going on, and sometimes you're not always able to see what's going on in the crowd. But, you know, I have seen fans get upset for, like, their favorite wrestlers. Like you said, when, you know, they're in peril, they're in danger, and it shows how really invested these kids are and how much they care.
Now, at this point, QT has a couple more questions to ask you, so I'm going to pass things over to QT for a bit.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Savannah, are you familiar with the comic book line, the Nick Iggy comic books, A Boy and His Dog?
No, I don't think I'm aware of that one.
Oh, okay. Well, I think Sign Guy will be able to provide you with maybe a photograph of this certain comic book, and be forewarned that one of the wrestlers, originator of this comic book, was in a match when Sign Guy was refereeing, and he did slightly strange things to his leg. Yes. Nick Iggy.
Okay.
And his dog. Yes. All right. Well, Savannah, were you familiar and of that seminal moment when Bubba Ray Dudley slammed Mae Young through a table? And
yeah,
was Mae Young one of your idols?
I do remember that moment. It was crazy to see that. It was kind of unreal. Like, no, he's not really going to do this. I'm not I believe, you know, Mae Young is definitely like a pioneer for women's wrestling. And I think I didn't really get more into things that she had done in the past until, you know, I grew up a little bit from when I initially started watching wrestling. But yeah, she, like you said, definitely a pioneer.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, you mentioned that you also were into comic books, and you yourself have been a comic book subject of speculation and development. Are you aware that the members of KISS donated their blood to Marvel comic book founder Stan Lee in 1977 for the KISS comic books?
Well, I didn't know that, but I'm also curious to ask why they thought it would help the comic book if they donated their blood to Stan Lee.
Well, it wasn't a big amount of blood. I think it was just a prick on the fingertips. But then they could say all four members donated some of their blood to the red ink that went into the KISS comic books.
Okay, that's what was my next question, was if they wanted the blood to be used in the comic as ink. But that's,
yes,
pretty out there.
Well, they were a pretty far out there group, yes,
mm-hmm,
at the time. Okay, all right. Well, Savannah, what is the injury that most concerns you that you have not received yet, the one you most would like to avoid, and probably cater your training to avoid?
Oh, man. Injury is definitely something that I always worry about. Maybe more than I should, but definitely very cautious when I'm out there and when I'm training. Definitely want to avoid head injuries. I would say that would be my number one fear, is a head injury.
Okay, the head injury. Okay. Okay. Now, Savannah, do you do any powerlifting to help your training? Because we have a person out here, Donovan Edsel, who took up powerlifting, and he's also had a strict diet, and this has helped him overcome his diabetes. Plus, since he has taken up powerlifting and strongman competitions, he has set several Oregon state records. How about powerlifting for you?
I haven't done any powerlifting competitions. I have picked up more on weightlifting recently than I had before in the past, and I can definitely relate to him as far as, cleaning up your diet, helping out your diabetes. I believe they considered me borderline diabetic back in college, and since then have cleaned up the way I eat and studied more into, like, nutrition. So, I believe that cleared up the fact that I was borderline diabetic, or that I was going down that hole onto the path of diabetes, and it also cleared up my anemia as well. So it definitely can help.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Savannah, Tom Brady, of course, recently staged one of the greatest comebacks in Super Bowl history, and he has kind of rejected the typical NFL workout pattern of lifting heavy weights or lifting four times a week with weights. At his age, he has taken up isometrics, yoga, and rubber band workouts. I don't know if you actually call them rubber bands, but they are the kind of like rubber bands where you stretch.
Yeah,
and you
the resistance bands.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There you go. Do you do any of that?
Yes, I can see how he would like be leaning away from weightlifting as often, especially not that he's old, but as far as a football career, as he's getting older, you don't want to have a ton of muscle on you that can slow you down or like inhibit your performance. I believe they call that non-functional muscle. Like, lifting weight can give you like a nice physique, and you do have a certain amount of functional muscle that comes with that, but a lot of it is going to be non-functional muscle. It's just muscle that looks good, and it's not going to do a lot for you, but, it'll slow down your running times and things like that. So yoga, I think it was great for everybody on like a daily basis. It works those muscles that you don't ever think about working, helps stabilize your joints, especially in people that are, you know, maybe overweight or at an older age, you know, helps stabilize your joints. And I think it's a good thing. It's great that he's doing that. And I do some of that too, like yoga. I try to do it as often as I can, and I'm definitely a big proprietor of stretching. And I haven't worked as much with resistance bands, but it's something I thought about for sure.
Oh, okay. All right. And my last question, do you prefer coffee or a herbal tea after a match?
Let's see. I prefer, if it's a show day, I actually prefer a coffee before a match, not so much after. But I'm kind of what I would consider like caffeine sensitive. Like, it doesn't take a lot of coffee for me to feel it like in my system and everything. So I wasn't drinking coffee for a long time, for years and years and years. Within the past maybe 3 or so years, I have started drinking coffee more often, more regularly. And now I'm at a point where I kind of want to back off on coffee and switch more to green tea. So I actually drink both. Like, some days I'll have a coffee, some days I'll have green tea, some days I'll have neither. But I like both.
Okay. All right. All right, back to you, Sun Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Ms. Evans, we have just a few minutes left today, so I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything you've got, social medias, merchandise, upcoming appearances, your favorite tea room, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
All right, thank you. I just want to appreciate the fans that took the time to, you know, tune into the podcast. I'm really appreciative of that, and they can check me out more at my social medias on Twitter. I'm Savannah Evans, the letter M, the letter V. And on, I believe it's Instagram, I'm Savannah EVS. Also Facebook, Savannah EVS. If you guys want to, you know, look me up, see what's going on with me currently and that kind of thing, keep in the loop. I have a really cool weekend coming up this weekend. Friday, I'll be in Fayetteville, North Carolina for Warzone Wrestling. I'll be taking on Danny Ferreira for the first time, so that should bring a really awesome challenge. And then on this Saturday, I will be wrestling for Queens of Combat. We're doing a double taping, and Queens of Combat is one of my favorite promotions to work for. It's an all-girls organization, and like I mentioned earlier, I'm part of a group called Sexy Young Caramels with Ariel Monroe and Devin Nicole King. We are looking to take home the tag team titles on that night. We are going to be involved in a tag team tournament to crown the first ever Queens of Combat tag champion. So that's going to be my weekend. You guys can check me out on, you know, previous Queens of Combat shows at the High Spots Wrestling Network. You guys want to Google that, sign up. It's just $9.99 a month. You can check out all the women's wrestling. You really can stand. Like, there's a lot of WSU on there, Queens of Combat, just a lot of cool stuff that, you know, fans of women's wrestling would be particularly invested in. But yeah, you know, check me out, you guys. I appreciate you giving a listen today.
Well, Savannah Evans, it was an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. Best of luck as you continue on with your career. I will be on the lookout for that Sexy Young Caramels t-shirt when it appears.
Time Guy, you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
I guess he went somewhere.
All right, well, fans, if we will be back with you next week, and we'll be joined by Charlene McAnally on Friday. So we will be with you next week. Join us then.